stand. I have had a good week. I've had a busy and very overwhelming week, but it's still been a good week. And I was sharing with Jennifer yesterday that even as overwhelming as my week kind of felt, it was just gratitude and thanksgiving that sustained me. And I think that's the power and the beauty of thanksgiving, is that it does sustain you. Something Dad said last week when we were finishing up the battle series is, he said the greatest weapons you have in a battle are gratefulness and thanksgiving. And that's what we're doing this morning in worship. I love the scripture in Psalms where David says, "Oh God, listen to my cry, hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I cry to you for help when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge, a fortress, listen, where my enemies cannot reach me." What we do in worship is when we cry out and we set our eyes on him and who he is, whatever that enemy is, it may not be this real live scary enemy. And sometimes it is. It could be fear cannot reach you. Shame cannot reach you. Guilt cannot reach you. Whatever that is cannot reach you when we are in his presence, when we purpose to enter into worship. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. Every song that we're singing this morning is about how great he is, how good he is, how close he is, how his goodness chases after us, how that he is the rock that we run to, the shelter that we hide in. I'm excited about this series because it not only magnifies who God is, that he's bigger than we can imagine, but he's closer than we always know. And so I invite you to just surrender whatever it is stirring in your mind right now that may be either a distraction, that might be a hindrance, that might be just a battle. It could have been something that happened yesterday or this week or this morning. And that right now we choose to step into his presence. We choose thanksgiving because it sustains us. I just want to take a moment right now. If I wasn't even planning on doing this, but I just want to take a moment. Just close your eyes where you are. Don't focus on anyone around you. Let's just be quiet a moment. Father, we thank you for a sacred space to acknowledge you, to receive from you. Thank you for ears to hear you. Thank you that eyes that see the invisible and the supernatural and the divine in your goodness, God. Amen. Open your eyes. Let's worship. My song, you are good. Tell him he's good this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's no more powerful name than your name, God. Your name is a strong tower. A strong tower. And we run to it, God. We run to it. And we thank you, Father, that we're saved every time.
Separate us now. What a wonderful name it is. From the moment that I wake up until I lay in my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
Like y'all been doing that a while. Well, I'm looking forward to a revelation of who we really are. And I want to give a prophetic word to several people this morning that over the next few weeks and possibly this morning, you for the first time are going to see who you really are. Not what you see when you look in a mirror, not what you think what other people have said you are or what you have even said to yourself you are, but who you really, really are. Because the most important thing you can possibly ever know is who you really are. The greatest revelation you'll ever receive. I saw pictures this morning of people. I'm not going to call them out, but some people very dear to me who look in a mirror, who have an image of themselves, because, and it's a good image because people have given it to them and told them these things, but yet it's not really a reality in them, and they still don't see themselves the way that God sees them and the way they really are. And to see that for the first time is the most awesome thing could ever happen in your life. I wish I could tell you this morning in this series and in this particular message this morning, I wish I could tell you that I have fully experienced it. I want to, and I believe I will, and I have experienced dimensions of it, but there's so much more to experience. I have embraced it. Oh, I've embraced it. I've embraced this truth with every belief factor I have in me. I've embraced it fully, completely, but now I want to experience it. You know, the Bible talks about knowledge, and knowledge is not something you know here. Knowledge is an experience. You don't know anything until you've experienced it. You may believe some things, you may believe a lot of things, but you don't know some things until you've experienced it. When somebody says to you, and you're speaking to them and you say, I know that, you're saying, yes, I understand that, I have experienced that, I know exactly what you're talking about. Somebody who's gone through a divorce or a very difficult time may talk with someone who hasn't been there, and the person who hasn't been there can't look at them and say, I know what you're saying. No. Until you've experienced that, you don't know what they're saying. You may talk with someone who's in deep, deep sorrow and grief because they've lost a loved one or somebody very close to them. Well, you can't look at them and say, I know what you're experiencing. No, until you've lost somebody very, very close to you, until you've experienced grief that is so deep and so burdensome, you don't know it until you've experienced it. The Bible says Adam knew Eve, and she conceived. He experienced a relationship with her. Knowledge is experiencing what we believe. And this is what Paul wants you to know in Colossians. He wants you to know what's happening in you. He wants you to know why it's happening in you, and he wants you to know how it's going to happen in you. What is happening in me? Why is it happening in me? How is it happening in me? What is happening in me? Say, what is happening in me? Why it's happening in me? And how it's happening in me? Wow. I want to experience Christ in me, the hope of glory. What is that? A hope of glory. Can I go ahead and give it to you right quick before we even get there? The hope of glory is the expectation that Christ will be glorified in me to such an extent that I will experience the same Jesus Christ who walked this planet, the Christ in him, that I will experience that myself. That's the hope of glory. The hope, expectation that I will be glorified. Those he called, he justified. Them he justified, he glorified. That we will be more than a representation of God in the earth, but we will be a manifestation of God in the earth. Jesus was more than a representation of God. He was a manifestation of God. I'm getting way ahead of myself. There was a movement years ago that I followed closely. It was a movement called the Manifestation of the Sons of God. There was a group of people, thousands of them, that believed that there was so much more to what the church was experiencing that they wanted to go after that with every fiber of their being. They moved to Alaska. They moved to different parts of the world. They isolated themselves, and they believed that they could get so much more in God and in Christ that they would literally get to the place where they conquered everything that needed to be conquered in life, including death. They believed it. Now, was it extreme? Yeah, I think so. But you cannot come against their heart. You could not doubt their desire. It was misguided, but there was something in them that they knew there was more. That they knew that they could experience God in such a way that they could conquer everything that this world can bring against them. All of creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Paul says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. We are writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. What a mouthful he just said. I am Paul, chosen of God. Now, he's chosen of God. Paul didn't choose this apostleship. God specifically chose it. You know, one thing I don't know is why God chooses us to do certain things. But he chose Paul. And I want you to know something. We're not all chosen to be apostles. We're not all chosen to be ministers. We're not all chosen to be communicators of truth. But we are all chosen to be like him. We're all chosen by God. Jesus said, you did not choose me. I chose you. And let me tell you when he chose you. He didn't choose you when you walked down an aisle at some church years ago and maybe committed your heart and your life to Christ. That's not when he chose you. The Bible says in Ephesians, he chose you before the foundations of the world to be blameless and holy in him. He chose you. He told Jeremiah, he said, I chose you before you were conceived in your mother's womb to be an apostle, to be a prophet to the nations. He chose you before you were conceived in your mother's womb to be who you are, to be where you are. He chose you in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Before you had a birth certificate, you had a spiritual certificate of existence. And he says, he chose me to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. And he said, and to send this letter to the people in Colossae, faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. We have got to get back to the foundation of who we are as a people. And we are not an organization. We are not a denomination. We are not this or that. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the family of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the family of God. I grew up Pentecostal, and if my daddy heard me say, Joey Grubbs, he would say, "What did you say?" I said, "Joey Grubbs." "No, you don't say that. You say Brother Grubbs." That is how I was raised. That's how I was taught. We are brothers and we are sisters in Christ. Wow. We lost that somewhere down through the years. We forgot that we are from the same womb. Every person on this planet is my brother. We were playing a song before the service. When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother. When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother. Because there is one family, one unit, one people, and it's the people of God. John said, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband." And he said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." And he says, he's making all things new. And he said, "And I heard a loud voice crying out of heaven and saying, the tabernacle of God is with men. My dwelling place of God is in men. And I will be their God, and they shall be my children, my sons and my daughters forever." Brothers and sisters. Every person you see is your brother, is your sister. We are not an organization, we're an organism, alive with the DNA of God Himself in us. Oh, if I can communicate it this morning, I hope I can. There's a spiritual DNA in you, just as there is a physical DNA in you, there is a spiritual DNA in you. If you can't locate it, you can the natural DNA. They're finding out today they can, somebody was telling me about a murder 30 years ago, and they just found out who did it by DNA. And there's a natural DNA. But let me tell you something, there's a spiritual DNA that you can't detect. You can't find it. It's spiritual. It's beyond the natural. It's not what we can see with our natural eye. Man, there's a passage of Scripture says, "Well, there's much given, there's much required." And that bothers me. That really bothers me. And the more you know, sometimes it's not the best thing for you. Because for me to look at every person, Billy, on the face of the earth as my brother and my sister, and to see every single person on the face of the earth, Christ is in them and they just don't know it. And to believe that, because I don't see that. It's not natural to see that, Joy. And it takes a huge awakening of spirituality in me to see that, to recognize that. Because there's an adversarial spirit, call it devil, call him Satan, call it whatever you want to call it, but there is a darkness, there is an evil that's present in the world, and it has one intention, and it's separating brothers and sisters, and that is it. Family is everything, Dwayne Swilly says, and it is everything. That's why he fights in the natural family to divide natural families, to make families dysfunctional, to make all these psychological renderings of their life, because family is everything. And divorce should not separate us. If we do really do what the script, we don't need to teach our children to be angry with this father or this mother. We need to raise them up and say, we're still family. That divorce didn't separate us as family. We are still brothers and sisters. We are still one. Whew. I didn't mean to go there. What's happening in me? Let me tell you what's happening in me. These letters from Paul. We're writing God's holy people in the city of Colossae. Faithful brothers and sisters, may God, our Father, give you grace and peace to understand this. Go on. We always pray for you. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've heard of your faith in Christ, your love for all God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have this expectation ever since you heard the truth of the good news. And that's what Paul says in simplicity of it. I heard of your faith, I heard of your love, and I heard of your hope. Now the hope is reserved for you in heaven. He doesn't let planet Earth handle hope. Hope's too precious. He says, I keep this reserved for you in heaven. It's a safe place that nobody can get to. The devil can't get to it. Your enemy can't get to it. It's reserved for you in heaven. It's an expectation of good. Because faith is substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And faith works by love. And so he says there's three things that I have for you. Faith, hope, and love. Faith to see what you can't see. Hope to expect the very best. And love to overlook the very worst. That's what's in you. That's what's happening inside of me. And then he tells them, he says, you heard this truth came to you of the good news. Now, what is this good news? So let's look at it. This same good news that came to you is going all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Ephras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. What is this gospel? What is this good news? He tells us what this good news is. First of all, he says, say it's good news. If you ever hear anything that's coming out of Christianity that's not good, it's not the gospel. If you ever hear anything coming out of any body, any church, any family of God, if it's not good news, it's not the gospel. The gospel's good news. It is truth. What's that? Can I just tell you what I wrote down as truth? I will. No more guessing about who God is, but explicit certainties about who he is. No more guessing. It's universal. Look at Christianity. The good news, the gospel of God, is the only religion that's universal. It's not geographic. It's not located in a certain geography on this planet. Most religions have a center of where it originated from, and it's geographically there. It may have trickled here and there, but it's not universal. Christianity is the only universal gospel that there is. It's universal. It's everywhere. It's for everybody. It's productive, and it's humanly transmitted. I just kind of snuck that one in. Probably one of the biggest things I've said all morning. It's humanly transmitted. He says, you got this gospel from my brother Epiphras. That's who you got it from. Somebody's got to tell it. Somebody's got to give it. Amen. Say, I'm a gospel carrier. I'm a good news carrier. Wow, if we could just get that, if we could just do that. I got good news for you. Oh, you in trouble? I got good news. You can get out of trouble. You're broke? I got good news. You can get out of it. You're sick? I got good news. You can be healed. I'm broken? I got good news. You can be fixed. You're sad? I got good news. You can be happy. You're out of shape? I got good news. You can get in shape. Yeah. You really can. You're hungry? I got good news. You want more? I got good news. I got good news. Say, I got good news. And then he says a prayer. He said, I pray, I have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power so you have all the endurance and the patience you need. You may be filled with joy. I want you to have knowledge of what he wants you to do. I want you to have endurance. Endurance and patience are two different things. Endurance is you endure anything and everything that comes your way. You can endure it. Patience is I have patience with people. And if I have endurance in everything that comes my way and I have patience with people, then I have joy. Patience with who? With the ability to bear with people that their unpleasantness, their cruelty will never drive me to bitterness. Their unloveliness will never alter my love for them. Wow. What patience, what endurance, what joy. No situation can defeat them, and no person can defeat them. Say, no situation can defeat me, and no person can defeat me. We've got to move on. Why? He said, we have always thanking the Father. He's enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. If you've never been rescued, you don't understand this. There are people in the Bahamas that know what it is to be rescued. There are people in different parts of the United States who have been on top of their houses in floods, and they know what it is to be rescued. They know what it is to be in a place of really danger, and somebody comes along and rescues them. I know what it is to be 4 miles out in the ocean and see a Coast Guard boat rescue me. Until you've been rescued, you don't know. We've got to realize he rescued you from a kingdom of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of light. Now look at me and listen closely to what I'm about to say. This light is not so that we can see the light. The light is so we can see what the light is illuminating. If I turned out all these lights and I blacked out all of these windows and it was total dark in here, and we could see nothing, and we turn the lights on, what are you going to see? Not the lights. You're going to see people. You're going to see carpet. You're going to see the screen. You're going to see what the light has illuminated. That's what's happening in us. That's what's happening in us. Amen. Well, how is it happening? I'm glad you asked. Let's get on to it. How is it happening? How is it happening? Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created. He's supreme over all creation. Through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see, the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, and the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Let me tell you why this is so important. This letter, had Paul not written this letter, Christianity, as you know it today, would not exist. If Paul had not written this, Gnosticism would have taken over the church world. Because the people of Colossae were being threatened and were being overcome by people called Gnostics who did not believe that a pure God of the universe could have created this earth, because there was such evil in it that no one that pure and holy could have created it. And so they believed and was teaching that the God of the universe had all these emanations that kept coming from him and got far enough from him that evil could create evil matter. But God of the universe could not. And Jesus says, he is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus was more than a representation of God. He was a manifestation of God. And we have got to go from doctrine and dogma to reality. We have got to go from, Paul said, I don't want you to read the word. I won't want you to know the word. I want you to experience. I want you to be a living epistle read of all men. I want you to be God in the flesh, walking around meeting the needs of people. I want you to be God in the moment to wherever you are. That's the only way they're going to see God, is they see him in you. He's a manifestation of who we are. I've said this a lot, but I want you to hear it. Jesus was not an example for us. He was an example of us. He's more. He was an example for us. He was an example of us. Who do men say that I am? You're the Christ, Peter said. Why did he say you're the Christ? Because the Christ separated him from Jesus, the natural man. Christ is the DNA of where he came from. Christ, he said, thou art the Christ, listen, the Son of the living God. Who are you? Christ in you makes you a son of the living God. A son, a daughter of the living God. Hebrews 11:3 said he existed before anything else, and he holds all of creation together. He's the creator. Let's go on. He's more than that. He's the recreator. He had to come and do some recreation. That's why he came. Go on to the next scripture. Christ is also the head of the church. Aren't you glad? I mean, glad he's the head of the church and not me. Aren't you glad that he's the head of the church? I am so glad. A guy came into town one time and he saw this little boy and he said, can you tell me where the Church of God is? He says, yeah. He said, if you go down this street and you take, no, that's Brother Smith's church. He said, if you go down here to the second red light and take a right, no, that's Brother Jones's church. He said, I don't think God's got one here. He is the head of the church. He is the beginning, the supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Through God he reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And he says, I don't have any enemies. I don't have any enemies. Wow. Wouldn't it be great if you could say that in any moment of your life? You can. We can. I have no enemies because I've reconciled everything through the blood. And so God's not angry. He's not mad. He's mad about you, but he's not mad at you. He never has been, never will be. He loves you far more than we could ever imagine how much he loves us. What's happening? Good news is working in my life. How is it happening? The creator of the universe makes it happen. How is this happening? Let's read it. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he's brought you into his presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. I know I just have to kind of lead you. I used to just say, Kitty, go, and she. You are blameless and without a single thought. Stop trying to become what you already are. It used to be this, I don't remember, David, what song it was, but it was some kind of rock song. It went something like this. Trying to figure out who they are. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. I found myself crawling out when I was crawling in. That's confusing. What is he saying? I'm trying to get something, and I'm finding myself crawling in. I'm finding myself coming out. You're trying to become something that he's already made you, and you're trying to become holy and without blame, without a single fault, and you already are. Therefore, you live out of that posture, not trying to become something. You already are something, and you live out of that. That's why when you tell your kids, you tell them who they are. You build them up so that they will know who they are, so they can live that out, because you have instilled it in them that they are somebody special. And you and I are somebody very special. You must continue to believe this truth. Stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard. Don't drift away from it. Am I the only person who drifts away from it every now and then? No. Am I the only person who judges my spirituality by how many chairs are empty? Am I the only person who forgets at times who they are? That I'm a child, a son of the living God, and the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in me. You've got to continue to believe this truth. Stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. But listen to this. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. And God's given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past. I think that's that couple of thousand years ago this was written. This is as relevant today as it's ever been. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches of the glory of Christ are for you. Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all the wisdom God's given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power. It works within me. What is Christ? Who is it? Can I give you my definition? It's a purism. Maybe I'm right. I don't know. I know Christ isn't Jesus' last name. That's the reason Peter said, "You're not Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the image of God. Christ in you is the image of God." That's how you were created. That you are what becomes from you, in you. When God came to the garden and said, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam said, "We heard you and we were naked." They were naked before, not really. You see, all the kingdoms, all the animal kingdom, all the birds had feathers. The animals had fur. The dogs had hair. They covered themselves from within. Man, Adam and Eve, had a glory that emanated from within them, that clothed them, and they couldn't see no nakedness. And the image was marred by the knowledge of evil that they never had before. All they ever knew was good. Was good. I wish I could tell you where I got this from. I don't know. But I love it. Christ is the heartbeat of the universe. His love, his self-giving, his sense of the presence of God everywhere. Time and eternity intentionally united. All of this. And it's the heartbeat of the universe. This image of God. I want you to stand with me. Praise team can be coming. Paul said this in Ephesians. Don't miss this. It captures everything we just read. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too greatly to fully understand. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Christ in you. This hope of glory. That you'll know this love that passes knowledge. What you see doesn't affect what you know and experience inside. It's an adversarial spirit that roams this earth to take this truth from you on a daily basis. It constantly seeks to blind you from this truth and this reality of who you are. Really, really are. That's why there are a lot of people today who like to use the term universe to explain God. You know, the universe. This is coming from the universe. Say it all you want. I don't care. But I serve a God who created the universe. And my God is bigger. He's colossal. He's bigger than the universe. He holds it all together. He holds it all together. That's colossal Christ. He's big. He's huge. Bigger than any thought, bigger than any idea, bigger than any false image, bigger than anything anybody else might say. He is who he says he is, and you are who he says you are. He's in you. The hope of you experiencing the image of God, manifesting God in the earth. When you walk through the grocery store and you just encourage somebody, you just speak a wholesome word to somebody, you are God in that moment. You never know. Because we can dress this thing up, right? We can all look like we have it together, right? John, when God wants you to know today the image of Christ that's in you that far exceeds what we see from the outward appearance, and for you from this day on not to live out your life and walk out your life from a natural ability and what God has gifted you with and blessed you with in a lot of other areas, and people see this John Henry and they see this image, but he wants you to know that even you don't see that. You look in a mirror and you don't see what other people see. You don't see what you've been taught, but from this moment on, you're going to know the image of Christ that's in you, the The hope of glory is going to be what you center and live your life by. Not by your gifts, not by your talents, not by your knowledge, not by anything natural that you have, but because of the gift of Christ that's in you, that will be the image for which will form you and bring you into everything that God has for you and has planned for you on this planet. On this planet. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not what other people say, not what you see, not what anybody other thoughts about you are. Christ in you is your hope of experiencing the image of God that's in your life. And nobody can take that from you. Nobody can give that to you. But only Christ who is in you is that hope of glory. Don't let anybody or anything ever cause you to drift away from that understanding and that knowledge of who you are in Christ. That's for all of us. Got to embrace it first, then maybe we can manifest it, okay? I'm the first to tell you, I don't manifest it as often as I like to. I don't manifest it enough. I've embraced it, and that's what you got to do first. You got to embrace the truth. You got to believe the truth. It's important to embrace it. It's important to believe it, because you can never manifest something you don't believe in. You can't become something that you already are. But it's a constant thing that I have to hold on to, John. I can't. It's so easy for me to miss it. It's so easy for me to leave it. It's so easy for me to drift away from it. But I want to manifest it. Amen? I want to manifest it. I want to look into the face of my enemy and say, there's my brother. You bow your heads for a moment? Would you just meditate for a moment and see Christ in you? Share this with you. This is strange, I admit. It's strange to me. This morning, I made a concerted effort that when I was getting dressed and I was getting ready, I was looking in the mirror, I chose not to see me. I don't know how my hair is combed this morning. I hope it is. I didn't really focus. I chose in my spirit not to look at the mirror and see the image of me. I chose to see Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's how I want to live out my life. But it's going to take some conscientious effort on my part. Amen. Isn't it? Yeah. You are who God says you are. He created you. He made you. And not what I say I am or anybody else says I am, who he says I am. Amen. Sing something. I don't know how to end this. Just do something. Do something.
a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. And nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. Name it is, and nothing compares to this.
receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. If you have your connection card that was in your bulletin, drop that in there. Appreciate you filling that out each and every week. A couple of important things that are coming up. One is this Wednesday night. You don't want to miss. We are going to all of the groups that have been meeting. I've heard such great things that are going on in the lives of each and every person. And we're all going to come together this Wednesday night and talk about, share it, testify. We're going to testify the goodness of God. If you haven't been able to make a group meeting, that is okay. Come this Wednesday night and you can hear all the good stuff, because some of these groups are going to happen again in January. So we want you to hear that, what's going on, what's happening, what God is stirring and doing in the lives of people, the goodness of God. So be here this Wednesday night. And the reason this Wednesday night is important, because it is the last Wednesday night of the month, and First Wednesdays is going away. Now, you're still going to have a first Wednesday of the month. First Wednesdays is changing, okay? We will not be having First Wednesdays going forward. So the rest of this year, we will be revealing to you what our next year's Wednesday night plans. There's going to be several small group type opportunities that you're going to have, but it won't be on just the first Wednesday of each month. So coming up this month, have you guys gone ahead and started receiving that, passing those buckets out? Yep. Oh, you already did. Fast. I wasn't even watching. There are three big events that are still to take place this year that we want you to be a part of. We're doing a fall festival and chili cook-off on the 27th of October. We'll get you more. It's a Sunday afternoon, evening. We'll get you more information on that. We have a thanks and giving meal that will be the third Wednesday in November. And then we have a Heart of Christmas that will be taking place in December, ladies meeting. And guys, there's opportunities for you to serve at that, so we'll get you more details on that. But the goodness of God, bringing your presence to the house on Sundays, when we gather as an event, your presence is important. Thank you for what you bring to this house, whether it's in a donut ministry, a children's ministry, a youth ministry, wherever it may be, your presence makes that difference. God bless you. Stand and let's pray. We will be dismissed. Lord, we love you. We give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you that you are in control and we're not. And Lord, we receive that. Lord, we accept that. We embrace that. Lord, allow each and every person to take what has been given to them today and share it with someone this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.